Radio.
You're listening to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast that explores the bold projects, exciting opportunities, and the growing reach of blockchain and cryptocurrency. Whether you've got skin in the game or you're just crypto curious, keep an open mind, enjoy the conversation, and stay CryptoCurrent. Now here's your host, Richard Carthon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And today, got another amazing guest all the way from Berlin, Germany. We have Martin with Upvest. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm great. I can't complain. 2020 is looking really excited in the crypto space. Everything's already off to a pretty hot start. And there's a lot of awesome blockchain projects out there like yours. And I'm excited to learn more about what you're doing at Upvest. But you know, before we dive into that, tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us some background.
Yes, originally, actually, after university, I studied business administration. I worked in a private equity fund as an analyst associate and investment manager at the end, and invested a lot of software businesses around Europe, but also German mid-cap companies. So I learned a little bit the ins and outs of the financial industry. In 2014, I started a company called ShopGo, which is a fintech company. We started in Germany, but then moved also to San Francisco, where I lived for a couple of years. The company ultimately then got sold to Klarna, which is one of the largest payment companies in Europe. I came back to Berlin, my home city, actually, and shortly after started the company Upvest. So I personally invest in the space since 2014 and always have been involved in finance and tech. So for me, it was a natural step to start Upvest back then. Because in my point of view, blockchain is a combination of both, so finance and technology.
Awesome. Well, that's a really awesome background, and makes perfect sense of how you even got into this space. And I think you said it already that you got back into it back in 2014. But what was your first introduction into cryptocurrency and blockchain?
I think that at the beginning, it was purely about Bitcoin. I had a couple of friends in the financial industry that got super excited about it. Some were more on the anarchy side and got really excited about the idea around that you actually have a trustless currency. So I was just looking at it. And honestly, at the beginning, I didn't really understand it in detail, but I was thinking, you know, why not just giving a shot and invest a little bit in it? And I would say in 2016, actually, it got even more and more my attention. So I invested in my first ICO back then. I invested more and more also in Ethereum. Then I could see also 2016, 17, and everything picks up much, much faster than expected, and then got more exciting.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that you're able to get into it before, the rush that was 2017 crescendoing up into beginning of 2018, must have been an exciting time. So around what time then did you start your company Upvest? And, you know, what is it and how did you come up with the concept?
So I started the company Upvest together with my co-founders in 2017, late 2017. And we back then actually figured out that the market is super hot, is growing really fastly. But it was really lacking the tools to build really something. So also professionalism in the space. So there were a lot of ICOs around. You could even say a lot of scams back then. And a lot of technology that was, I would say, pretty immature. And we thought, why not just building some tools to make it very simple to build blockchain apps in the first place? We started pretty much with simplifying the investment process in ICOs back then, also qualifying certain ICOs. But then we figured out there are also far more use cases where we can be really helpful. So we created a simple abstraction layer on top of the different blockchain protocols, mostly Ethereum and Bitcoin and the substandards like ERC-20, 1400, to make it very simple for every business to build a blockchain application. And the first problem that we actually have encountered was the problem of storage. So we truly believe in a non-custodial stack so that actually the end user owns their private keys and owns their asset. And we have built a pretty simple API around that can be integrated in any app without actually the end user knowing that they use the blockchain in the first place. And this is used by a couple of companies in the traditional financial industry, but also by some crypto companies. For instance, we support one of the largest crowdfunding platforms in Germany, which distributes around 300 million in real securities per year. And this year, purely on the blockchain. And we provide them with a whole, let's say, non-custodial stack with the wallets, with the transactions. transactions and also the data around this. But we also have some challenger banks that use our tech stack, like for instance, Bitwala in Berlin. They use it for non-custodial treasury wallets for the trading, where they also don't want to touch the funds in the first place. So something we figured out pretty early on is that if you build it in a non-custodial way, you have the benefit that you can distribute these assets on a global scale, and you can also substantially reduce the banking costs. So one of the things that we were shocked about is that for some of our customers, we could reduce literally the banking costs by 80% with our current tech stack.
Wow, 80%. So can you talk about that a little bit more? So being in the financial industry, like understanding, like being able to cut costs that much, that's a huge deal. So like, I want to reemphasize that. And for people who don't necessarily understand what we're talking about right now, it's just, can you dive a little bit deeper into like why that's such a big deal?
Yeah, totally. So when you look at the value chain of alternative investments, you typically always have to create a security in the first place. You write a prospectus and then you distribute it to retail customers. Since last year in March, April, it is now allowed also to distribute real securities to retail customers in Germany and also in Luxembourg. And typically, before that, actually, you always had to distribute the security investment to a depository bank account. Depository bank account in Germany and in Europe costs around 40 to 50 euros per retail customer. And when you think about that, these crowdfunding platforms typically have an investment of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 euros. This is quite a substantial cost factor. So just pre-funding, for instance, these depository bank accounts. So one of the tricks that actually, one of the innovations that we have brought into the market is we replaced entirely the depository bank account for some of our customers and replaced it with non-custodial wallets. And what was very important for our customers that the end users don't even know that they use the blockchain in the first place. So it feels like an in-app experience with a username and password and a 2FA on top. But ultimately, the end users now own their assets, so their security in self-custody compared to like a bank that has held it before. So this is one huge cost minimizer. The second one is that in the classical financial industry, you have something called an issuing agent. So this issuing agent actually issues a security, and this costs in Germany around 25,000 euros. There's nothing else than just distributing the asset in the first place. And when you actually do this with a smart contract, so you define certain rules in a smart contract, you have a certain whitelist, then you can reduce this from 25,000 euros to a couple of hundred euros because the smart contract can be repetitive and you can distribute these assets. So those are like the two factors where we can actually, for alternative investment platforms like Exporo, but also Blockster, that sell real estate to retail customers, that you can substantially reduce the costs.
Which is absolutely incredible, just utilizing smart contracts and everything else. And that's huge. And like, I think obviously with your background and being in fintech and just being in Silicon Valley for a while and then just seeing like how this technology can be implemented in world economies and just seeing the impact of the scale of this, Upvest makes a ton of sense. And I already see how y'all are driving a ton of value. So, you know, great job with identifying this opportunity, then creating something that works and then like, you know, building it from there. So I just hats off to you for, you know, getting the company to where it is at this point.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It was super tough the last 2 years. So we're happy that we actually found this great use case, which is also repetitive and scalable.
Absolutely. So I know you've been in the crypto space, crypto and blockchain space for, you know, almost 6 years now. What are some different various projects that have your attention?
So at the beginning it was purely Bitcoin, to be honest. And I still think it's one of the major drivers. It is a store of value, but you see also a lot of tools built around this. I get super excited still about Ethereum 2.0, specifically also the new launches to get more scalability. I think the whole DeFi trend recently gets me really excited because the tooling that they build is really, really, really exciting. And I can imagine that you can also reuse this for so many different use cases in general. That gets me really excited. So Maker obviously is one of them. Compound is super exciting. But I also get excited about more traditional players that actually move into the space. It's kind of funny because you have like these very large organizations that also move into the blockchain space, but they always build these proof of concepts. And then you have a lot of developer tools and developer focused adoption, which is by far much, much faster, which is exciting to see because for some reason, these big organizations don't really get it done to get like really repetitive, scalable model out there, and these developers actually redrive adoption, which is pretty huge. And I haven't seen many industries in the past where this was the case. Specifically in finance, you always had huge roadblocks along the way. And now, let's say with this open finance trend, everyone can participate, which is really incredible.
Yeah, it's leveling the playing field, which is really nice to see, kind of refreshing. But at the same time, too, it's if you can capture the opportunities in this space right now, you really can leave an imprint on where the industry is headed as everything catches up, which is really a unique opportunity in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, totally. And I think what's also pretty new in this industry is that most of the stuff is open source. So you can just look at some open source code on GitHub and contribute. And this whole openness, I think, will have a compounding effect on growth in general. So you will see far more innovation actually next coming years. And I mean, last year was already pretty significant with the whole DeFi or open finance trend. And just imagine if you now continue with this growth rate and you put this, let's say, open finance and DeFi in a broader economy, especially in the financial industry, what kind of huge benefits you can see in the next 10 years.
Absolutely. And on that kind of subject line, so what are some things that are in the horizon in the crypto and blockchain space for this year that you think should be on other people's radar?
There are a couple of things. So for me, the most exciting is that still most of the assets in the world are still on the blockchain. And I compare this trend a little bit to the trend of on-premise and cloud storage in 2000 with Salesforce pushing this forward. I think we see something similar. I think in 10 years, blockchain systems or blockchain-driven applications will be far superior compared to centralized systems. And I think what we need to see in the next couple of years is that we see also more traditional assets being put on the blockchain in the first place. So I think this is something that people sometimes underestimate, because if you just have Bitcoin and Ethereum and let's say classical cryptocurrencies and you build like a layer on top, let's say for lending and staking, it's still the base value is the cryptocurrency. And I think at a certain point of time, you have to move towards real assets. It can be, for instance, real estate. It can be equity, can be infrastructure investments, can be to a certain extent also completely new type of instruments in DAOs or licenses, patents. But there needs to be a connection between, let's say, the decentralized finance and some real world assets to make it really big. So I would put my emphasis on this, and that's where we also focus a lot on at Upvest, to use these great tools that we have in DeFi, but also make them applicable for, let's say, real assets to increase the overall market size of blockchain.
Absolutely. And I would agree that blockchain is what's really going to, the technology that's going to drive this next decade of information. I really like the analogy that you did with like cloud computing and how far that's come in the previous decade. But something else that you said that like I really think is going to be very powerful is just how do we get to mass adoption and how do we keep getting more and more institutional players into it? And like you said, be able to bring larger assets and assets that a lot of people are currently using, such as real estate and being able to put on blockchain. That is what we have to be working and aspiring to. And I think we are. I think it's just going to continue to take time, but the players that are building towards it right now and are able to crack that, just figure out how to get it done, it's going to be in a very powerful position. So I definitely would agree with what you just said with that.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. Yeah. But you're right. When you go towards real assets, it takes always longer because you have more restrictions, the whole regulatory restriction in the first place, and also to convince traditional potential market participants to use the blockchain. So I think it's super important that there are players like Upvest, but there are also others that make it very simple for fintechs and organizations to use the blockchain in the first place, so that the end users don't even necessarily know that they use the blockchain. Then the friction point is relatively low and you don't have to educate most of the users because it's just embedded in most of the apps.
Definitely. And just like you said, when you're using something and you don't understand the underlying technology that's driving it forward, that's when you're at scale and that's when you're at adoption. And we're between regulation and just being able to build the experience and the infrastructure to get that done. We're working towards it, but we have some ways to go. But I really appreciate you spending some time with us, dropping all this knowledge on us. But what is a final thought that you want to leave with all of our listeners today?
The final thought that I have in my mind is, I think about the world in 10 years and how many assets could be on the blockchain and what needs to be done today. And I think it's super critical actually to fight towards getting more and more assets on the blockchain in the first place and not just put ourselves into, let's say, just the crypto niche, but also open up, let's say, to the broader industry to make us more powerful. Because I can imagine if you want to make this really powerful and create like an open financial world, then we have to start today already opening up also to more, let's say, traditional industries and not just participate in the same small crypto niche in the first place.
Definitely. And I really think that's a great final thought to leave us on. And Martin, thank you so much for being on our show. What are some different ways that people can connect with you outside of the show for whoever's listening?
On LinkedIn. So I always accept typically people on LinkedIn and they like to chat also on LinkedIn. If there's anyone interested in, say, working with us together or has an idea of a partnership, also send me directly an email to martin@upvest.co. This is also possible.
Perfect. Well, again, Martin, thank you so much for joining us today. And for everyone listening, stay CryptoCurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of CryptoCurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency. You'll receive daily emails Monday through Friday that are personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. If you're finding value in our content, please take 5 minutes to leave a 5-star review and a great comment. Also, please make sure to share this podcast with others. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter, with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DeRitter Productions.com.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of CryptoCurrent with Richard Carthon. We'll be back with more exciting developments from the world of blockchain and cryptocurrency next week. But until then, stay CryptoCurrent.
Available exits now.